Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. And I find you, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole.
With my whole heart. Seek you with my whole heart. That's a word for tonight. Seeking him with my whole heart. We're grateful to be here. Welcome again to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN. We're grateful to be here. I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. Today is July 14th, 2021. It's 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and like Terrence said, we are excited to be here. And yes, that is a word right there, seeking him with your whole heart, not some of your heart, not half-hearted, right?
Right.
There's a saying to do things half-heartedly, which means you don't give it your all, mm-hmm. but you want to seek him with your whole heart.
Yeah, half-hearted don't get you nowhere, because it's like you either in or you out. You either in or you out. Mm-hmm. Are you going to add or are you going to take away? And I just thank God that he's added to our lives by making a way of escape, giving us, preparing the way to our salvation so that we can have eternal life and that we also can have a great life here on earth while we're here. God is amazing. He's covered it all. He has covered it all. Things that we know of, and things that we are ignorant of. But I'm just glad God is with us. I'm glad God is still purging us and cleansing us of all unrighteousness. I don't really believe that we really know how much is in us, how much unrighteousness is in the earth on all different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our few levels that we look at, our few things that we look at and can blatantly see it. But what about the things you can't really see that's very subtle? And it seems to be okay.
Right.
And those are like some for real snares. It's like a razor blade. When it cuts, it cuts fine. You know, you can't even see the cut, but you see the blood.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? How? Like, where? But then you see the blood. And so I just am so grateful that we serve a God that covers it all, and that the more we learn, the more that we grow. the more reliant we are on him, the more dependent we are on him, the better our lives become. The more, and when I say better, it's not just all about the money, the houses. It's not about all about the things. You know, that comes with it. But what it's truly about is having a clear understanding of how God wants you to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
If that ain't peace, to have an understanding of how things work, because a lot of times when reasons why we get so agitated about things, because we either are ignoring the obvious, or we are totally lost in situations about things, but what really helps us is to understand the why. Because when we ask questions, most people want to know why. I need to know why. And when God reveals the why of certain things, and really the why that I have that has covered pretty much the majority is the fact that this right here, that this life on earth is temporary. And all I'm here to do is simply present people an opportunity to see Jesus. An opportunity to see the Lord so that it give, put them in position to choose, to have that opportunity to choose life or death. Because I already know evil is here. So when evil things are done in this world, it doesn't shock me at all, because
mm-hmm.
I know it's here. God sent Satan here. He sent evil here. He gave them access here in the earth. And so to hear about those things, it doesn't move me in any way. I look at it and be like, okay, well, there's still work that we have to do as the righteous, because I can't wallow in that right there. That right there has been done. So I either haven't been doing enough, I need to do more, you know? That's how I focus. That's how I move, that's how I operate. It's like I really allow people to be who they are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not the same Terrence that I was 5 years ago when we first met on PGN. I have the same call, the same mission, the same purpose. But what has gone on in that time is that I have developed more. I'm the same being, but a being with more wisdom, a being with more knowledge, a being with more experience. A being that has moved from one place to another. So in the flesh, you may look at me and be like, hey, what's going on, Terry? How you doing? But internally, man, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've dealt with. You don't really know where I am. But the beauty about the Lord is that he knows where you are at all times. At all times. And that's why he gives us grace. That's why he gives us his grace. Because we will be imperfect at all times. Where there is no Christ, there is imperfection. So I thank God for his grace. That's why I don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted, neither should you. We should never take God's grace for granted. Never take his mercy for granted. But yes, grow with God. Run your race. Go at your pace. Develop in the time that God has allotted for you to develop and become. While you're doing that, you really take focus on the faults of your brothers and sisters. You really can't focus on the things that's not going to help you get to where God wants you to be when you are truly focused on him. There's been plenty of years in my life I went through a rebellious phase. I said, Lord, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Man, please. I got to go through all this, man. Look. But guess what? God never left me. He was there when I was making stupid decisions. He was there when I was making excuses. He was there the whole time. And when I came into my right mind, when I got back into my right mind, he was still there. And he never brought up the wrong that I did. He didn't want that to be my focus.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're so focused on what's wrong, you don't put time in to focus on what's right. Because you're exhausted about what's wrong. Or even exhausted trying to think about what's wrong, trying to avoid what's really wrong and try to make so many other things the possibility or the issue. But when I got into my right mind and I began to nurture my relationship with the Lord properly, God has done some amazing things in my life that when they first hit, just seemed like it was an amazing thing. And so I said, God can do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it in your life. You just got to trust him. You just have to believe in him. You have to stand on his word. You have to nurture your relationship. You have to talk with the Lord. You got to hear from God. You got to want him. You got to want this. You really got to want to see it the way Jesus sees it. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. You gotta want it all. You can't just want a portion and think that I'm good. You gotta keep seeking. You get some. Keep seeking for more. Because I promise you, you cannot outseek God's giving. He's gonna give more than what you could ever seek for. Then you can't measure up to it. So I pray tonight that we really open our hearts to really challenge ourselves more to become greater. Challenge yourself more to depend on God. That's becoming greater. See, from an earthly standard, if I say greater, we looking at, hey, you need to get this certification, you need to do this, and then that, you know. Mm-hmm. All of those things are good. But to become great in life is to know how to die. Get acquainted with death. Know how to give it up. Know how to sacrifice. Know how to be totally reliant on God. That is ultimate greatness. We have to die daily. So as we die daily, we grow daily. Because Jesus says that he is the resurrection. So if Jesus is the resurrection and you're dying to yourself to live in him, when you die to yourself, he resurrects you in the spirit. Mm. And when you're resurrected in the spirit, that means your spirit is alive. It's not dead. It's not chasing after the flesh. The flesh then wants to line up with the spirit when the spirit is truly in control. That's going to follow. Because the flesh is weak. I look at anybody that in athletics that plays a weak opponent. Mm-hmm. They're never saying that the weak opponent is the favorite. And when we are walking with the Lord, you cannot lose. There is no failure in God. And so when you resurrect in the spirit, you begin to take on the characteristics and the full identity of Christ. That's being born again. Being born of the spirit. Why? Because the spirit is real. If you're not running things through the spirit first, you're going to miss the whole point. You're going to miss the whole mission. Abort operation. Go back, sit down, revisit it. Because you have to see it in the spirit first. It's like night vision goggles. If anybody's familiar with night vision goggles, these are goggles that you put on your eyes to see at night. In the dark, they give out an internal light that shoots out rays that gives you like a light in darkness. So you're able to see the heat, something, a body heat temperature, so you can see it's actually moving or what it is. And so that's how it is when you are born of the spirit. Now you can see in the darkness because this world is a dark place. And when you can see in the darkness while people are walking around without night vision goggles and they're living in darkness but don't even recognize it's darkness. And they can't see what you see. And so as we develop, and as you give yourself time to develop, be patient with yourself, but be consistent in the seeking. Consistency doesn't mean that you're rushing anything. Consistency means just what it says, doing a particular thing. Let me pull it up exactly so we can know for sure. But having a repetition of doing something. Conformity in the application of something, typically that which is necessary for the sake of logic, accuracy, or fairness. Consistency. Conformity in the application of something. And so you're conforming and creating a habit, being habitual in seeking God and wanting to know about God, putting it, prioritizing it, and making it a real thing in your life. making it real. Because Jesus is real. And so many people don't believe that. So many people do not believe it, but Jesus is real. And so as you seek him with consistency, you believe that God is real.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeking him so you can find answers. So you can find answers to the questions that you have. And God will teach you. He will teach you the posture. He will teach you how to hear him. He'll teach you how to move. But it starts with seeking. It starts with seeking. But I just thank God again for being here and really opening us up to new revelation of him and how he wants us to move during this time, what revelation he's going to give us for this time that we're in. Because God is still speaking. He's still speaking. He's still speaking. And so I'm grateful for that. I had a scripture. It was today's scripture, yes. Psalms 59. No, was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. So. I like this one, though. Psalms 59:16 says, "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning." David's even talking about that mercy. "For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." You know, God is our ultimate protection. He's our ultimate protection. And we're in days of trouble. And yeah, I believe that they're going to get worse. But he's our defense. He's our defense. And so God will protect us from a lot of the things that are to come. But we got to be seeking him so we'll know when we hear him. We got to be seeking him so we can do what he says do, when he says do it, how he says do it, when he says do it, where he says to do it from, and who he tells us to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
That's beneficial living. That's stepping out and living with greatness in mind. I hear a lot of motivational speakers and life coaches. They say a lot of good things. But the key element is missing. And that's Christ. I can do nothing without him.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, through him, I can do all things. But the world ain't teaching that. And you're getting a portion, a level of success that you're meeting. But ultimate success is in the Lord. Period. That's ultimate. It don't get no better than that. But we got to be seeking him. And so you ain't seeking that you ain't believing in.
That's true.
You know, you ain't seeking nothing, you ain't believing it. That's why so many people are not believers, true believers, because they're not seeking Christ. Because you got a lot of people that don't believe him. Then you have to ask yourself, out of everything that goes on in this world, why do so many people hate Jesus? After all he's done, if you read the story and you don't even believe it, you still can't hate him. Like, what's in you to hate him? You didn't even got to believe the story, but you heard the story. So just say from a fictional standpoint, you know, hey, if this wasn't real news, that's a made-up story. The character Jesus, what are your thoughts? How could you hate that character? We watch movies on TV all the time, television shows with made-up characters, and we have characters that we love. We have characters that we just can't do. Look, I can't stand that character. But there's a reason why. Mm-hmm. Can't nobody give me a valid reason why they could hate Jesus. Other than the fact that because you hate him is because you don't have him in your life. You got a different spirit. That's it. Let's keep it simple. Let's live and let's continue to grow as individuals and as a body. And trust me, you will be what God wants you to be. And he's ready for you to be there. Keep seeking and trusting. You got anything, dog?
That's it. That's a good word.
Question. Thank God for that. Wow. Well, we're going to answer cook calls. Where is the plug?
You some plug something, yeah. You can give me the other end. Let's plug it in.
All right. You powered up. The computer was on his last leg. It was about to shut on off. But if you want prayer tonight, just press 1 on your dial pad. That'll alert us on our end. We're going to ask the call, get your name, where you from, and we're going to minister to you tonight. So our first caller here is 903-918.
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Good. I need to hear you better. Hold on one second. I can't hear. Bothers me. Let me get set up one second. Say something, Michelle.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you loud and clear right now. I can hear you. Yeah, I had to hook up my speaker. But let's pray. Michelle from Texas. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for Michelle tonight, Father God. We thank you for the pruning. Like with going through a pruning cycle, I don't know if you've ever seen a tree get pruned. That means limbs get cut off, dead limbs, mm-hmm. Uneven limbs, you know, but they're still, you know, connected to the tree. And so you look at it in your life, how things will be attached to you. And when God takes us through a pruning process, these are things that we've had feelings for, that we've built emotions for, we've put time into it. And so, in other words, they take a place and they have a place in our lives based off of time that we've given and the purpose in which it served. to whatever capacity. But when God takes you through that pruning, it's a cutting away of those things that's not needed. And sometimes it hurts because some of the things that's not needed may be things that we like. But when we're being pruned, God is lightening the load. He's lightening the load and giving us a different appearance in him. Mm-hmm. To where even when you see the wind blow through a tree that has been properly pruned, like every limb gets to move the way that it needs to move because it's gotten rid of dead limbs, you know, broken limbs or whatever the case may be. So now it has a shape and everything is flowing in sync when the wind blows. And so when the Lord speaks to you, once this pruning cycle is complete, then you'll be able to flow the way that God has created you to flow. And when I say that, that's to walk in your calling. That's to take ownership of what God has called you to do and step out in it and begin to develop and learn the new. Because when things are new to us, we're ignorant to a lot of things, to things that are new. You know, we got to learn something that's new. And so when God reveals to you your new self, yeah, you got to learn how to operate. You got to learn how to move. You got to learn these particular things. But when, as you're taking it and doing this, do it with joy. Mm-hmm. Because the way you do it, it will determine what it produces as well. Do it with joy. Do it with full compassion. Do it with love. Do it as unto God. So your production level is going to be truly based off of what you believe. Because God has made it available for you, but it's like you can get out as much of it as you choose to. Whatever you believe you can get, that's what you're going to get. Whatever you believe you can have, that's what you're going to have. And that's you after this pruning phase. Because God is definitely taking the way you think to a different realm. Your perception of things, your judgment of even before you speak, it's like you're going to have that conversation run through your head and, okay, there it is. You're going to let it flow. Because it's like you're going to minister to yourself before you put it out when you running it through your head. It's like you're coming into agreement with it before you let it flow. So when you release it, it's without a doubt, you know, what it means to you. And so it hits different when you operate like that. Because you speaking from a place of like assurance, a place of I know. Yeah, the place of I know, and it's really going to help build the body of Christ and do what the Lord needs you to do for the kingdom during this season of your life. That's what I got for you, Michelle.
When you were talking about the pruning, that's what stood out to me. So I looked up the word. Prune. What does it mean to prune something? So it says to reduce, especially by eliminating superfluous matter, to remove the superfluous, to cut off or cut back parts for better shape or more fruitful growth, to cut away what is unwanted or superfluous. So they keep using that word superfluous. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. So I pulled up that word. Let's see how to even pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little, it's not working. Normally they have like where you, it, they'll play how to pronounce it. Anyway, superfluous means exceeding what is sufficient or necessary, extra, not needed, unnecessary, marked by wastefulness. And so superfluous. Okay.
Superfluous.
But replay that?
Superfluous.
Okay. That's,
superfluous.
That's not a word that's superfluous. That's not a word that I hear often. And,
Superfluous.
So I'm saying superfluous is superfluous. Okay. I'm about to add that to my vocab. So anywho, the Lord is going to remove from your life things that are extra, right? And not extra like cool extra. Like when we say somebody's being extra, we're not saying that they're being cool. We're saying that they're doing the most or, you know, they're just being unnecessary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another definition of superfluous. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary. Another word is wasteful. So sometimes things, like Terrence just said, sometimes we like the things that can be wasteful or extra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like to pass their time on, you know, gossip blogs and things like that, and it entertains them, but it could be a misuse of time. It could be wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And extra and have no, no value to them as a person. And so God might position a person to be more mindful of their time. So just because something is wasteful and it's extra doesn't mean that it's something that right off the bat can be viewed as bad, but it means it is hindering your growth because it says to cut off or cut back parts of for better shape or more fruitful growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all about pruning because my dad had a landscaping business. And so, again, when you prune something, it makes it more fruitful, makes it grow better. And so that's what Terrence said. That's exactly what I'm seeing for you, that the Lord is going to cut things away from you so that you can have more growth. Because sometimes we feel stuck and stagnant. We don't know what it is. We're trying to figure it out, too. And the Lord's going to cut away the things that are causing you to be stagnant. So Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the pruning. We thank you for We thank you for revealing to her the things that are hindering and extra and not in a good extra, that are wasteful, things that are like time sucks and a suck of her energy and her talent. Sometimes people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people will come to you all the time and they'll want advice and they'll want direction and guidance, and they're not going to take your advice. They're not going to take your guidance. You're going to just basically be sucked into their drama, and you're going to give really good sound wisdom and advice. They're not going to follow it, and it's sucking your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll start to carry them, carry their burdens, carry what they're going through. You'll start to stress and worry about it. You know, you'll start to follow up with them. Hey, did you do what we talked about, or how's this situation? And it's really truly just a waste of time because of where they're at, you know, at the stage of their life. And so not to say that the person themselves is a waste of time, but that situation is a waste of time. And that needs to be pruned. Sometimes it's people that need to be pruned. Sometimes it's habits that need to be pruned. Sometimes it's mindset or beliefs that need to be pruned. But I see God really revealing that those things to you. So, Lord, we just thank you for the expanded wisdom so that she is aware of what needs to be pruned, and give her the strength and give her the determination to prune those things, no matter if they're enjoyable or not. Because she knows that it's going to perfect her, it's going to make her better, more useful, and it's for your glory. So let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Say no time for all this, that superfluous.
Yeah, superfluous.
the superfluous information. No time for those superfluous people in your life. What's going on, Michelle? It's all right. I learned a new word. I'm excited.
Amen. I did too. And mm-hmm. I received that word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got anything you want to share, pray for, want us to hook up with you on?
No, not at this moment.
Okay. Okay. But thank you for calling. It's always a pleasure speaking to you and ministering over you. It's always a joy.
Well, praise God and thank God for y'all. Let him continue to use you. And I'll be thankful for it. Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Well, I learned something new from that word, superfluous.
Superfluous.
I'm going to use that tomorrow, and I want to see if whoever I use it with is going to know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to tell you they ain't going to. If they do, you need to keep that person close.
Right. Like, you know what superfluous is? Okay. I'm not letting you go.
You know what superfluous means?
Well, and I want to see if they don't know, if they say,
what does that mean?
Because I'm the type of person, some people don't, like if people use big words or whatever, they don't want to seem like they're not as smart as them, so they'll just kind of go along with the conversation and then, like, Google it later.
Right.
I'm the type of person, if we're having a conversation and you use a superfluous and I don't know what that means, I'm going to be like, what is that?
Right.
Like, define that?
That's just another word for unnecessary.
Right. So, and then I'll be like, okay, and then I'll kind of use it in a sentence in my head to kind of make it stick. But I'm going to use, I promise you, I'm going to use that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm using it the rest of the day.
Superfluous.
Yes. Because we don't have time. But Satan's superfluous activity.
Okay, we have to put Satan on notice that you being real superfluous.
Absolutely.
And we're going to need you to go back to where you came from because Jesus didn't die on the cross for that behavior to stick and have effect in my life. He came to give you life and life more abundantly so you could take that superfluous activity elsewhere.
Elsewhere. And us as believers, we need to stop spending superfluous time doing things that don't mean nothing. That's not going to get us anywhere.
Right, like fighting people in the flesh, that's superfluous when the Word of God says that we wrestle not with flesh, it's principalities and wickedness in high places.
That is so superfluous. I like that. 225-270. Hello.
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 How are you?
Hey, good, how are you? Who are we speaking with?
My name is Jacqueline.
Jacqueline? Okay.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, Jacqueline?
Louisiana.
Louisiana, okay. Let's pray for you, Jacqueline. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Jacqueline, Father God. We thank you for the past. Thank you for creating ways where there's no way. Like, I see you having a moment like Moses and the children of Israel when they were escaping Pharaoh. And here they are, right? They get to the Red Sea. I don't know if they had boats. I'm going to guess and say that they didn't. And so it's almost like they felt like they hit a area in their path where now it seems like I can't get to where I need to be. They hit a roadblock, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But God created a path where there was not a path, right? Because once you're in front of a big body of water, if you don't have a boat or something that's going to either take you through the water or a helicopter or a plane that's going to take you over the water, that means that that's like a roadblock now. Your path is blocked. And I see God making a way where there's no way. And when I say that there's no way, it's not that there's really no way. It's just you can't see it. Because a lot of the times that's what happens. We just can't see the path. We just can't see what's going on. We'll say, oh, my gosh, there's a body of water. I don't have a boat and a helicopter is on the way to come pick you up with a rope and take you over it, and you're good to go. But we tend to say things within our own human capacity. We'll say things like it's hopeless or nobody can do anything or it's over. You know, we'll use these final phrases because we can't see it in our own human mind because we tend to look at things from our human capacity. Mm-hmm. But the Word of God says, I can do all things
mm-hmm.
through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we know that as believers, that's something that we're taught very early on as a believer, whether you were raised in church, you know, or whether you came into the fold later on as an adult like I did, but that's something that you're taught very early. That's one of the lessons that God really instills in you in the beginning, so that you can have an understanding that no matter what he asks you or no matter what life, you know, hands you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But a lot of the times when we're facing a situation, we don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
We use these final phrases. It's over. It's a wrap for me. I'm done for. You know, whatever the case may be, instead of saying, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to not say that. You know, I'm pretty sure there are some very strong believers that say that, but most people start to say what they, within their ability. But I see God, that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is really going to become alive to you. You're really going to walk that scripture, because he is going to make a way where there looks like there's no way, to where you just kind of, what was Moses going to do? Like, seriously, what was he going to do if that sea didn't open up? Then people started grumbling and complaining and stuff too. Like, we could have just stayed in Egypt. We didn't even want to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's one thing when you know that you're doing the will of God, and then it's another thing when you face a roadblock, and now the very people that God has sent you to save are sitting there grumbling and complaining and making you feel bad about yourself and making you feel like you're just about to be the death of them on top of things. And so if God would not have intervened, what, seriously, like, from a practical standpoint, what could they have done? Nothing. They could have tried to make a swim for it, but I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have been very, you know, successful. So it was one of those situations where if God wouldn't have stepped in, it could not have been done. And that was for a reason, because God was trying to teach the children of Israel the type of God that they serve.
Mm-hmm.
That there's going to be situations where there's literally nothing you can do. And you could do things, but it's not going to have success. It's not going to be able to produce what needs to be done. And so they learned a very valuable lesson when God opened the Red Sea. And not only did he provide a way for them, but he also provided a way to eliminate their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
That the opening the Red Sea was twofold.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people focused on the fact that they got away.
Right.
But let's focus on the fact that their enemies were swallowed up.
Absolutely.
So there was no more Pharaoh and his army to give chase. We didn't hear about them no more, because Pharaoh's army got swallowed up
mm-hmm.
in the Red Sea. It was twofold. And so mm-hmm. I see God doing this for you, making a way where there looks like there's no way. And not just that, see, because he gives us, you know, above and beyond, exceedingly above and beyond what we can ask or imagine. It's one
mm-hmm.
thing for God to make a way of escape from our enemies or a situation that is appearing to be an enemy. It's another thing when not only does he use that same way of escape, but he uses it to make it to where that thing can't be an enemy to us
mm-hmm.
anymore. It's gone for good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see, that he's going to create a way for you where it looks like this thing is over. And not only that, but whatever is chasing you, whatever is looking like it's going to cause you problems, it's going to be gone. With the same thing that he's using to create the path, it's going to be the same thing that eliminates that
mm-hmm.
that thing from, you know, feeling like it can chase you and hinder you and beat you down, because, you know, he's going to set you free of that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Lord, we just thank you for Jacqueline. Lord, just elevate her faith tonight, Father God. Help her to focus on things that are lovely, things that are true, things that you have spoken over her life. But that's the truth. Whatever you have spoken over her life, Father God, help her to focus on that and not the temporary situation that's in front of her. Because what we see in front of us can change. What was true 5 minutes ago might not be true right now. I could have $5 in my hand and a stranger could walk up to me and give me $100. And now my truth has changed because I've been added to. So help her to see things in that manner, Father God, that just because something is true right now doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to always be. Whatever you said is the truth of the matter. It might not be the truth of the second. It might not be the truth of the today. but it is the truth of the matter, which means as long as she keeps waking up, mm-hmm. that it's going to get to what you have said. And help her to just focus on that. We just come against the discouragement, and we come against depression and oppression. And we come against the things that would try to come into her mind, that would try to eat away her faith, that would try to eliminate her faith. And I speak just a rising of her faith, Father God, that her ear would be inclined to hear, mm-hmm. to hear the word of God. Your word says that faith cometh by mm-hmm. hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So help her ear to be very fine-tuned to hearing your word, Father God, so that her faith will be increased. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jacqueline, what the Amen. Word I got was agreement.
Hmm.
Agreement. It means harmony or accordance in opinion or feeling, a position or result of agreeing. A negotiated and typically legally binding arrangement between parties as to a course of action. Harmony.
Okay.
So the Lord is just saying, come like what Tanisha was saying, come into agreement with it. Like it's one thing to hear it. And it's one thing, like when you truly believe, you've come into an agreement with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I agree with that. I'm in harmony with it. I'm in harmony. Hold on, let me look up harmony. It's a word. It's another word out there. The combination or simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions having a pleasing effect. So when you come in harmony with the words that God has spoken over your life, when you come in harmony in agreement with it, you are making music. There's music to heaven's ears. Okay? It's a combination. Like you're right in sync with the word of God. You're moving right in sync with what God has told you when you come into an agreement with something. Because when you've come into an agreement with something, it doesn't matter what else comes, because you know what the agreement was. Especially
Amen.
an agreement with the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's different right. in agreements when you come into agreement with man, right? You know, man comes into agreements and then have options. You know, you can buy yourself out the agreement. You know, you can forfeit or breach of contract. And this, that, and the other. When the Lord sealed the contract of everlasting life with the blood, it that contract ain't gonna change.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He changes not. So when you come into agreement with Him, there is nothing else but that.
That's right.
What He says is going to be will be. It's about do I believe it or not. Am I going to open the door so that this particular thing that God says that He wants to happen in my life will happen? I have to usher it in.
Amen.
I have to come in agreement with it. I have to be in harmony. I have to be in sync with it. Look at Job. Job was in agreement. with what the Lord had told him. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go against the agreement. I'm not going to get out of harmony with you.
Mm-hmm.
Satan cannot take your life. You have to give it to him.
He won't get it.
Satan can't take anything from what belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
He can't have what belongs to him.
Amen.
So you belong to him. You belong to him.
Amen.
Come into agreement with that and know that without a shadow of a doubt.
I belong
to the Lord. No sprinkle of doubt nowhere. And stand on what God has told you and watch what he does in a short time.
Amen.
In a short time in your life. Very short.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes. And we petition the throne. We petition the Lord tonight on your behalf that barriers that have been holding you back are destroyed. Barriers are removed now in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. That the weight of burdens, we petition you, Lord, that the weight of burdens on Jacqueline's life right now be removed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The weight of feeling obligated to people. Being obligated
Amen.
to giving folks the time be removed, that you open her up and free her mind to see what needs to be seen and to think on what needs to be thought on now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We bind the enemy. We confuse the enemy.
Yeah.
We confuse the enemy when it comes to Jacqueline in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Confuse him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful.
Wow.
Amen.
What you got going down in Louisiana?
Nothing.
Wow. That's a powerful
yeah.
word.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you for that prayer.
You got anything else you want to pray for before we go to the next call?
No, I don't have nothing else to pray for.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's good. 832-588.
832-588. How you doing? How you doing,
good.
Man of God?
How you doing?
My name is Brother. All right. Yes,
good,
sir. My
good.
Name is Brother Larry.
Brother Larry? Okay. Where you calling yeah. from, Brother Larry?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, Houston. Okay, you ain't too far from us. About 4 or 5 hours, something like that. Let's pray for you. All right, Lord, we thank you for Larry tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the omnipotence of you through pressure, the omnipotence of you being seen like through pressure. Because I'm seeing God's omnipotence and I'm seeing pressure, like pressure on pressured situations, you applying pressure being applied, but God's omnipotence, it trumps it. It makes it all better. Hold on, let me see something. Thank you. God, okay, so like God's omnipotence, because I'm seeing pressure that's being applied to you, and I'm seeing you applying pressure, but I'm also seeing God's omnipotence, like make it better. It's like, because when you're looking at God's omnipotence, you're looking at God's ability to do any and everything that he so chooses to do. So that's a display of power. And not just any power, but great power. It's like unmeasurable power. Because God can take anything, and change it and make it work for good. And so what I'm seeing God do in your life, Larry, is that God is going to show you how to really, really, really see how he does things. Mm-hmm. And not so much put the pressure on yourself to get it done, but to put your full faith in him to where he becomes the pressure to the pressure situation that you was once applying a limited amount of pressure to. Mm-hmm. Because there are things that you know hit us in life, and we thinking that we got to do it by our own might, because I'm educated, because I know what I know, because this is what I've been taught, I stand on it, this is what I believe. But God is still speaking. We're not serving a dead God, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so if he was the same God that spoke to Moses at the banks of the Red Sea, he's the same God that speaks to Terrence right now. He's the same God that speaks to Larry right now. He's the same God. So he said, let them that have an ear hear. Okay? Some people don't have the ear to hear from God. Some people don't want to hear. So he said, when you're ready to have that ear, then you can hear from me. Other than that, you are experiencing me on a daily basis. You're seeing my glory. You're seeing everything that I've done. But to hear from him is different. Because when you hear from somebody, you have a conversation with them. You know, you hear, oh, man, heard from you in a long time. You sit down and you talk. Found your loved one you ain't heard from him all day. And you look forward to talking to him because you ain't heard from him. You want to know what's been going on in their life? Let them that have an ear hear. That's the eagerness that we should have wanting to hear from God. And this is what God is positioning you, Brother Larry, to be able to hear from him completely and allow God to do his work and his will in the lives of those people that surround you. Because we could want people to get it. But that's not our job for them to get it. Our job is to present it. That's our job. A caterer or cook, they're going to cook the food and they're going to present it to you. But it's up to you if you're going to eat. If they eat from their plate, only they're the only ones getting full and enjoying their delicacy. But if the other person is not partaking, they're not partaking in that. So they have to eat on their own. Because God ain't going to force it down their throat. They got to take for themselves. And so God's going to really teach you in this season how to really not apply so much pressure. Not apply so much pressure, personal pressure, you know, carrying out, putting that pressure on ourselves to get it done, but he's going to show you how to really release people back unto him and allow him to be the pressure that they need in their lives. That's what I see God doing with you, Larry. That's what I got.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now
for Larry, Father God. We thank you for the release. I see God teaching you how to really release things to him and what that means. And what does it mean to have the exchange for your heavy burden for his light yoke? You know, sometimes we pray about things, but we don't release them. We're still burdened by them. They're still heavy on us. They're still, you know, slowing us down because weight slows you down. Anybody who knows that gained weight in life, one thing that you know is once you gain some weight, you're not as fast as you used to be. You know, you'd be like, oh, when I'm a slimmer day, you know, I could do this. I could run this fast or I could go up the stairs. You know, weight literally slows you down. It also weakens you. When a person is overweight, they can't lift things as you know, like they could when their weight was lighter. So there's a lot to carrying things than just the emotional toll. It physically even takes a toll on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it spiritually takes a toll. There's so much that extra weight can do to us. And the Lord is going to really teach you what does it mean to release things to him. Because sometimes we'll be like, oh, no, I gave it to God, and we're carrying it. How did you give him something if you have it on you? It's in your possession. So you didn't give it to him. You told him about it. There's a difference between telling God about something and giving something to him. And a lot of people don't know how to release. They don't know what that means. And so God is going to teach you how to release, not to just tell him about it, but how to practically give it to him so that it's not hindering you. It's not slowing you down. It's not making you weak, and you're not crushing under the pressure, because that's what happens. Our stuff is heavy. Imagine something that's heavy, like when you're trying to get a heavy piece of furniture. You can't carry a couch by yourself. You need somebody to even help you when things are heavy. That's just, you know, common sense in the natural. When we need to move heavy things, we're always asking people assistance. But our walk is our walk.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that if something's heavy on you, that means that you're crushing under the pressure of it, because there is nobody else that's going to help you with it. It's on you. And so the solution to that is God says, you don't even need to go get another person to help you with that. Just give it to me, and I'll give you a light yoke. So it's not heavy. It's light. We love light things. When it's time to move, who wants to deal with the couch? Nobody. People want to deal with the dishes and their clothes. You know what I'm saying? Their shoes. They want to deal with the easy stuff, the light stuff. We'd be all delighted. Somebody said, hey, can you help me move Saturday? You'd be like, ooh, and they're like, I just need you to help me with, like, the dishes and the clothes. Oh, okay, the light stuff. Yeah, I got to, you know. So everybody likes the light stuff. And this is what God gives us, the light things. So he's going to teach you that, and you're going to teach other people that. You're going to teach people what does it mean to release. And you're going to tell people you didn't have to release nothing to the Lord. You just told him. You told the Lord something he already knew. But he wants you to give it to him. Everything God does has intention for our good, even prayer. Prayer is not so that we can let him know what's going on. You know, we're not the 5 o'clock news for the Lord. He already knows what's going on. It's an opportunity for us to have a conversation with him. So it's for our benefit. He doesn't gain anything from us praying, but we gain. And just like us releasing, we gain by releasing. So Lord, we thank you right now for Larry, the teaching, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit bring him into all truth and teach him, Father God. Teach him your ways, O Lord. Teach him your ways. Help him to understand and to know how to release things into your care, in your control, in your custody, and give him the peace of mind to know that everything in your hand is in the best hand. That's the best place that it can be, is in your care, in your control, in your custody.
Yeah.
Even when we have things that you put in our hand, like our children, right? We're stewards over them, our money, the things that we possess in our name in the earth. But even when we have things in our care, control, and custody, we can still release those things onto you. And sometimes it's harder for us to release those things because we feel an obligation to them because our name is attached to them. But your name is attached to us. So we can relinquish those things onto you, Father God, and teach him how to do that and give him the peace, the joy that he needs. That sometimes it's hard for us, Father God, because we feel like doing nothing is being negligent. And sometimes doing nothing is actually the best course of action that we can do, because while we're not doing, you are doing. You don't sleep or slumber. So you're always doing. And so we just thank you for that. Give him peace, Father God. We just petition the throne, Father God, for his burden and his heavy, the heaviness on him, the things that he's concerned with, the things that bother him. Mm-hmm. We petition the throne, Father God, that you will exchange those things that are heavy and burdensome on him for your easy and light yoke. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the prayer.
You're welcome. You're
yes,
welcome.
Lord. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. Anytime. You got anything else you want us to hook up with you in prayer about? Anything you want to share?
Well, I want to say I dealt with a situation, and I was really putting pressure on it. And long story short, you know, I had to, you know, let it go. And everything you said was true, you know. And I just, and then I'm dealing with, you know, some hard things. And, you know, I give it to God, but I really don't, you know. I just like, okay, Lord, I'm praying about this again. Okay, Lord, I need you to. So I never, you know, and I never released it. And and yesterday was the beginning. I had to go to someone and just say, you look, forgive me. I wasn't a perfect person. And that it broke something in me. And I say, Lord, I just have to release them because I did all I could do. I mean, I pray with them, teach them, talk to them, would tell I'm blue in the face till they purple in the face. And it just like, I love people, but I need to find a balance. And I just thank God for that. I love people. I don't mind, but it's hindering me.
Right.
And I'm just gonna be real. So keep me in prayer. I desire a wife that the Lord has for me, not what I've been picking. My picking has been horrible.
Yeah.
And finances and relocation. You know, keep me in pray for me in those things. I'm just gonna be real. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to touch and agree with you tonight. We petition the throne of grace tonight that while we're in preparation, while there's in preparation, that he's being prepared for the woman that you are preparing for him.
Yeah.
And that they meet, and that they meet at the appointed time. That they meet at the appointed time, and that at that appointed time that they will both hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
That they will both hear from you and move the way you desire for them to move, to reflect what a true covenant, a true marriage is.
Yeah.
So that people can see it, people can be changed, people can be delivered, and people can be set free through that union. And we petition the throne tonight, Father God, on behalf of our brother Larry, that you show him where to go, where to live, where to grow, where he should be planted so that he can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Reveal it to him.
Yeah.
If he's where he's supposed to be, renew his mind now in Jesus' name. Because sometimes we think we got to go to a new place, physically, but sometimes we need to go to a new place mentally. But it depends on how God does it, how God does it. And so whatever God chooses to do, that his peace will surpass any type of understanding, any level of understanding that you try to get from it in your life. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Brother Larry, man. Thank you for calling in. All right, did we get a 910-709? I don't think we did. I think I skipped this. 910-709.
Hi, this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia, how you doing?
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you? Happy to meet you.
We're doing great.
Great. Yeah. Knew I had, because, like, sometimes when people call and you get done talking with them, they would, you know, hang up, but I could be pressing the next number. But when they hang up, the scroll goes up. And so your number got skipped. But, you know, here you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
you still got, that's a word for you that you're going to get in.
Mm. Amen.
You're gonna get what you're supposed to get. You're gonna be what you're supposed to be. You're gonna have what you're supposed to have, regardless of how many have gone before you. Regardless, what's for you is for you. It cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. And what's for you? Thank you for Sylvia tonight. That is mighty. That she understands that what you have for her, that truly eyes haven't seen, truly her ears haven't heard, the good things that you truly have in store for her on this side of glory, this side of glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to tell you, peace of mind, Truly, the peace of God truly surpasses all. I'm telling you, like, God is positioning you, Sylvia, to have peace regardless. If you got $1 or $100 million,
mm-hmm.
you ain't gonna change.
Nope.
You're gonna be God has called you to be regardless. You're still gonna have that peace because you're not subject to respond or to do what the world wants you to do.
Oh.
You really wanna please God. I really sensed it on you that you really wanna make God happy about what that you do. And how you do it. And I really see God in return showing you how you make him feel. And so we just thank God for opening up that door of opportunity for you, that place of peace, to abide with you daily, that God's peace be with you daily in Jesus' name, and that you fear not, that you move with no fear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
yeah.
Amen.
Right now for the what I'm seeing is it's just a matter of your belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like when we talked about last week when Lazarus had died and Jesus came and he asked, you know, do you believe, basically? What do you believe? It wasn't a matter of if he could resurrect him. Do you believe he could resurrect him? He said he was the resurrection. You know, they're like, Jesus, yeah, that's what it was. He had died, and they're like, he's died, and he's like, I'm the resurrection, basically. So do you believe that? You know, and that's what I'm seeing with you, that the matter has died, but you're entitled to it. And Jesus is the resurrection. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even though it appears to have died, that Jesus can give it life and you can still get what he's told you you're going to get? It's a belief thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. It really doesn't. Do you believe? That's it. That's all he wants. He's come for your faith. He don't care about all that other stuff, what it looks like in the natural. When he comes to you, he's going to ask you, what do you believe? That's what he normally does. Who do you say I am? He questions so that we can really assess what's inside of us and what we believe. That's what he does. He asks questions so that we can question our own beliefs and have a conversation with ourself about our own beliefs. And that's what he's come for. He's come for your faith and your beliefs. It don't matter what it is, what it's looking like in the natural. What do you believe? Do you believe him or not? Do you believe what you're seeing only, or do you believe what he's told you to where you're like, I know what I see, but I know what I believe too? Because you can do both. You can acknowledge what you see, but also acknowledge what you believe. Like, yeah, this looks like this is a bad situation, but I believe God said that this is what was going to go down, and so that's what's going to go down despite what I'm seeing with my eyes in the natural. You know, we have to learn how to have balance and how to keep things in the faith realm going, where we're like, oh, okay, this is a bad situation in the natural, but God said this. I have asked God, you know, and if I'm wrong, to remove it from me or let me know so I can move on, and he has it. And so I'm going to continue to believe, and I'm going to continue to dig my heels in despite what I see, and I don't have to know how it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. That's all I need to know, and I'm not going to let it stress me out. And that's what I see. God is going to resurrect some dead issues. He's going to resurrect them. He is the resurrection. It doesn't matter if the issue is dead. He's the resurrection. He can put life into anything at any given moment, even people. He proved that. Why is that story in the Word of God? Everything is in the Word for a reason. Every scripture is God-inspired to be in there for a reason. All sorts of stuff happened. But why were these particular instances put in the Word of God? I believe part of the reason why the story of Lazarus is in the Word of God is so that we know that if God has the ability to raise an entire human from the dead, how much more can he raise a dead situation? That's the ultimate thing that can't. Normally people say, well, once a human is dead, that's it. That's a wrap. You can't come back. And God proved that he could do it. That's the ultimate. So any other situation that's dead, he could resurrect that too. If he could bring a man back to life, he could bring a situation back to life. There's no, our belief, there's nothing beyond a human dying and coming back that we can, that's the biggest that we can believe for in the earth. That's the biggest, is a person. And so if God has shown us through his word and his ability to take the biggest thing and do it, then the smaller things should be no sweat to us. Where somebody says, well, nope, that's case closed. That's a dead situation. I don't care. My God is able to bring back humans to life, so this is nothing to him. So I'm going to keep believing. Just say you can't do it. But don't tell me what my God can and can't do, because he can do all things. He can do anything. So you can't do it, but God can. I'm going to keep believing. And so he's come for your faith and your belief, and he's going to just stand on it. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to do nothing else. Just stand on your faith and belief. All you got to do is stand on what he's already said and use that to give you peace and know that it's going to happen. And when that doubt tries to come creeping in, remind doubt that God raised Lazarus from the dead. So that situation could be raised from the dead. Because he raised an entire human from the dead. So this is nothing. So, Lord, we just thank you for her elevation of faith, Father God, and that she just continues to believe. That's all she got to do. It's just a matter of belief, just believing. Because faith and belief, it does something. It changes things. If we didn't need faith, you wouldn't require it of us. If we didn't need faith, you wouldn't say that without faith it would be impossible to please you. Faith does something in the spiritual realm. So we need our faith. So help her to hold on to her faith and to increase it even. And Father God, we thank you for what you are going to do, that you are going to take dead situations and you're going to resurrect them. Because you are the resurrection. We petition the throne on her behalf tonight, Father God, that you would that you would do what you said you're going to do. We know that you're not like man, that you should lie, that if you said it, it's a done deal. And just help her to hold on to that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. That was good. Wow. Whew. You got anything you want to share, Sylvia? Or you want anything else to pray for before we move on?
Wanted to pray for my brother who's facing a possible dialysis or either a kidney replacement.
Okay.
So we just come to you, touch it and agree, and we just pray that you. What's your brother's name?
Milton.
Milton? Father God, just touch Milton, right, Lord Jesus. Touch the kidney, Father God. Touch his body. Touch his mind even. Mm-hmm. Give him the faith to believe for healing. Give him the faith to believe beyond what the doctors say. Because we know that the mental realm does play a part in our body's ability to heal and our body's ability to receive healing. So, Father God, we just pray that his faith would be increased and that he would have a revelation of who you really are.
Yes.
The real you, not just what he's been taught or what he understands in his own human comprehension, but give him the revelation of who you really are so that he could believe for healing. And you, we don't put you in a box, Father God. Heal him however you see fit, Lord.
Yes.
But we ask that you would give him more days, that you would give him more time.
Yes, Lord.
So that he can get to know you, Father God, and that he could experience your love in full capacity on this side of eternity, and that he can even right some of the wrongs that he's done on this side. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying for me.
Always welcome.
You're welcome.
For calling. Thank you for calling. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you. Bye.
Past 8:30.
It's about that time.
Yes.
And thank you all for joining us tonight. We're going to clear it up for Randy. Y'all get some water. Log back in at 8:45. And some more word will be coming right back at you. We love you all. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.